Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is 10:08 here on a Monday night. Steve in for Jordana. Thanks so much for joining us. Keeping an eye on those thunderstorms as they rumble through the Twin Cities area. This is really round one. Radar at WCUCO.com shows more in the area of Monticello up 94 towards St. Cloud. And those are going to move through as well. We've had reports of torrential rain with these thunderstorms, lightning. We haven't heard officially of any hail falling here in the Twin Cities area, but that's always a possibility. And, of course, gusty thunderstorm winds. And these storms are right on the brink of Target Field. They go to the top of the ninth. Twins leading the Yanks 4-2. Are they going to be able to get it in? Boy, the radar shows it is bearing down on downtown Minneapolis. We did get something on the text line. 94 in Maple Grove, a slow moving a few minutes ago. There was occasional standing water, etc. So they got dumped on. So if you have time to send us a text on weather in your neighborhood, maybe what's shown up in the rain gauge, feel free. 81807. That's 81807 here at CCO. But once again, thunderstorms continue to move through the Twin Cities area. There's a pretty good chunk, once again, in the heart of Hennepin County, moving toward downtown. And then you go over toward the edge of Ramsey County, over toward Washington County, out in the Oakdale area, Woodbury. We've got some pretty heavy rain and thunderstorms moving into the Stillwater area. And then, of course, Hudson and ultimately going over the St. Croix into Wisconsin. So once again, the good news, no warnings with any of these storms, but some pretty strong thunderstorms moving through the Twin Cities on this Monday night. It is 10:10 here at CCO, and I'm very curious if they're going to be able to get this Twins game in before it starts raining pretty hard at Target Field. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by Rich Wagner, president, Dunwoody College of Technology in Minneapolis. And so often we hear high school students, what college, what university? But it's not always the best choice. There are great career opportunities, great paying jobs in the trades and other careers. And Rich, a pleasure to visit with you. Once again, I hear it over and over and over. People in the home building business, home improvement business, they can't find enough good workers. There is great opportunity out there, isn't there?
There sure is. There's tons of opportunities across all the industries in the Twin Cities right now, Twin Cities, state of Minnesota, and throughout our nation right now.
And back to the original premise, do you think in general our high schools, and generally speaking, do a good enough job of telling young people that there are other avenues besides attending a college? And a four-year degree is a great way of going, liberal arts schools, etc. But do you think they do a good enough job talking about technical training?
Well, I think the high schools, especially in the last several years, most of the high schools that we've worked with extensively are doing their best to get the message out that there's, you know, the important thing to think about these days isn't so much about I have to go to college per se. I have to do something after high school. And I think where sometimes the message isn't heard is at home with parents who sometimes, you know, think that their son or daughter has to go to their definition of what they should do after high school. You know, say a traditional four-year college path. And you know, for some reason, we have to get those parents engaged in the dialogue around like there are a ton of different opportunities, and they're all phenomenal, and they all have access to the middle class, and they all have career ladders that students can climb, or, you know, their sons or daughters can move into different positions throughout their careers. So I think that, especially in the last several years, there's been a lot more dialogue within the high schools around you know, migrating more students to career pathways. And I still think we have a lot of work to do, though, with convincing parents.
Dunwoody's been around a long time.
102 years now, 103 years. Yeah. We were founded in 1914. So we've been at this for quite a while.
Yeah, and it's certainly evolved over the years now, Dunwoody College of Technology, and a wide range of programs offered at your school and other technical schools. And these are careers that are in demand. I get back to just the trades, for instance, plumbers, electricians, carpenters, framers. And those are all things that people can learn the skills, get into these trades, and as you pointed out, have great paying careers and a tremendous amount of job security.
Oh, absolutely. You know, last year when we graduated our students in spring of 2016, we placed 99.2% of those students in the field for which they were trained, with an average starting salary somewhere around $40,000 to $41,000 a
wow.
year. This year, it's you know, we're heading into August, so our graduates have only been out since May. And I haven't heard the numbers from our placement office lately, but I would imagine we're north of 90% already. It's probably just a matter of us contacting students about what they're doing right now. I mean, we have 8 or 9 job offers per student on our campus right now. So that sounds great, you know, but I always think about, well, what about the 7 or 8 jobs we're not filling, right? Because yeah. those jobs are fuel the economic engine of Minnesota. And if we don't really figure out how to get more people into these pipelines and get the skilled people out that manufacturers and construction and the automotive and the computer and all the different industries need, you know, industries are going to get stagnant and won't be able to grow.
Yeah, and we haven't talked about automotive technology, but if you look under the hood of your vehicle, you're going to see there's a whole lot of technology packed in under the hood. And once again, I've got friends in the car business, and finding good people with training is not easy. Once again, another industry where they are looking for people that have the training and, for that matter, the interest in working on vehicles.
And, you know, that field has changed so radically the last 10, 15 years. I mean, you know, yeah, we still have an internal combustion engine, right? But you think about, like, cars pretty much drive themselves today. And in another 10 years, there will be autonomous cars all over the roads and, you know, alternative energy vehicles. We have electric vehicles. We have hybrid vehicles. I mean, the technology, the sophistication that's going into those vehicles today is staggering. I mean, the computing power in a car today is equivalent or greater than the computing power in an Apollo spacecraft that we use to take Americans to the moon and bring them back safely. That's what an automobile technician has to be able to work on today.
Man,
not only the internal combustion engine, but all those other electronic and computer systems.
Yeah, and with the opportunities there, and then, of course, you start getting into computer-related technology, the sky's the limit. And we all know how rapidly the world is changing in that area.
Yeah, you know, I had an interesting conversation with a director of manufacturing engineering for one of the larger companies in the Twin Cities, and he was talking to me about the concept of smart manufacturing. And smart manufacturing is this next evolution of quasi-artificial intelligence on the manufacturing floor, where the equipment and the tech and the machines will fix themselves, manage their production, using big data to do quality assurance tests. This next evolution, what technology is bringing into all these fields, from construction to automotive to manufacturing, et cetera, it's incredible. Think about your phone, the cell phone today, compared to a cell phone 15, 20 years ago, right? I mean, I remember my first cell phone. It was the size of a suit. You know, you have a suitcase to carry around.
Yeah,
it was the size of a football.
Right.
Today, it's your bank. And it's how you buy your airplane tickets, and it's how you talk. It's how you text people. You don't even really use the phone anymore. So absolutely, technology is becoming so inherent in every program and in every career option people are picking. There's a huge piece of technology involved.
And I suppose, Rich, in your business as an educator and the president of Dunwoody College of Technology, that staying out on that cutting edge and making sure the people that go through these programs are getting the latest and greatest. That's got to be a gigantic challenge to stay out there and stay ahead of the curve, so to speak.
So there's a couple things. One is, we have great industry partnerships. At Dunwoody, for instance, in our automotive program, we have a general automotive program which teaches students how to become mechanics. We also have relationships with Chrysler, Honda, Toyota, Audi, and Subaru. And those partnerships bring in all kinds of equipment that in cars, you know, high-end, state-of-the-art vehicles that you know, are $100,000 cars that we can bring in and our students can work on, and they can, and we have them work on. We're very applied, so our students are going to be very hands-on. Same thing in manufacturing. You know, we have a host of great partnerships with Fanuc and different General Mills and Haas Automation that allow us to bring in the latest and greatest. But that is a challenge, Steve. When I look out, like, what's the technology needs of the college going to be 5 years out, because how rapidly things are changing, you know, it's, without the local industries stepping up and helping us, we won't be able to deliver these programs.
We focused on young people coming out of high school and those options. A lot of kids have already made their plans for this fall. But what about someone who has already maybe been through college and has a degree and isn't sure what to do with it, or someone even older than that maybe wants a career change? Is there room? Is there space to learn new tricks, if you will?
Oh, I absolutely. One of the really interesting things about Dunwoody is while we, I won't get these numbers exactly right, but they'll be pretty close. You know, our 18 to 20 year old students make up maybe 40% of our population. Oh. The 23 and older group of students at Dunwoody is a much bigger number, and a lot of those students are 4-year transfers, people who went to a school for a year or two, it wasn't a good fit, decided that they were just going to, stop out and do something else while they kind of figure out their pathway. We have a lot of people who were in industries that changed and they lost jobs. They need to retool coming back. So, you're never too old for education, right? I mean, there's always something you can learn that will add value to your life and add value to your career.
Yeah, and you think about some of the things I brought up earlier. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters, welders is another one we didn't bring up.
Yeah, welders, huge demand for welders.
Yeah, and that is something that, a good welder, man, woman, doesn't matter. I mean, there are tremendous opportunities for men, of course, and women, of course, in all of these fields.
Oh, one of the things we have really worked hard at doing is gaining more exposure for women to come into these programs. In fact, we started a program called the Women in Technical Careers Initiative. It was funded by a grant from the Kellogg Foundation. And that program is specifically reaching out to women to bring them into all these different careers, because you're absolutely right. The career paths, the pay with benefits, the work environment, all those things are just a great return for anybody who can get into them.
Yeah, and once upon a time, there weren't opportunities for women in many of these fields. And I took a media tour of the remodeling going on at Target Center downtown, and there were a lot of women in the trades working on that project.
Yeah, and these are great paying careers that should be open to everybody. You can graduate from our machine tool program or any machine tool program, and as a 2-year graduate with a associate degree, you're probably going to start between $25 and $30 an hour. And industry cannot find machinists right now. With a 5-year earning potential of $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, depending on where you're at, what the specifics of the products are, your manufacturing, etc. The work environments are clean. The hours are great. The benefits are great. Why can't we get more women interested in these careers?
And I suppose you brought up a number that really, these are just companies just can't find people to fill these jobs right now. And we hear it over and over about some of the challenges for the economy and where the jobs are. there just aren't enough people to fill them right now.
You know, one of the things that we did a couple of years ago, because what we want to do is we want, obviously, as a nonprofit, our goal is to help the Twin Cities community, both from the student and industry side. And a couple of years ago, when we were out listening, and we talk with industry partners all the time, and one of the things we heard percolate up was not only are there not enough technicians with certificate and two-year degrees, but we can't find enough engineers. And students don't have a lot of options for engineering education in Minnesota. And, you know, we dug into that, did some research, and said, you know what, they're right. We need to offer four-year engineering programs, too, because our students need different options. And industry needs mechanical engineers, software engineers, electrical engineers, et cetera. So in 2016, we started a school of engineering to help build that capacity for our economy.
Great, great reminder that there is opportunity and opportunity in education. Rich, how do people find out more about Dunwoody College of Technology?
www.dunwoody.edu. Go to our website. That's the best source. You'll find all the information you need about all the different programs, the admissions process, tuition, all those things, scholarships, everything's out there.
Yeah, and how often do you start? Is it every couple of months? Is it every 6 months? How often do you start new
Dunwoody
programs?
Dunwoody starts semesters in the fall and the spring.
Okay. So typically like any other college.
Right. Yeah, we migrated into a semester system a couple years ago. We start in the fall, the spring, offer classes over the summer to keep people who are, a lot of our students are leaving because industry wants them to come out and work over the summer for them.
How about that? that's a good problem to have.
And then a lot of times they get scholarships to come back from the company because the companies want to keep the talent that they've identified through the summer worker program. So, yeah, it's a pretty good model.
Yeah. Well, Rich, a pleasure to visit with you. We'll have to do it again soon.
Yeah, appreciate the time, and have a great night. And it is raining at Target Field. I have the TV on, so they didn't get the game in yet.
they barely got it in. The Twins recorded the final out. They win 4-2, beating the Yankees.
And now it's pouring. Yeah.
And I was watching the radar for the last hour and a half. Are they going to be able to get it in? Are they going to be able to get it in? They did, and they won.
Yeah. It was a good win for us, too. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep that moving in the right direction. Well, I appreciate your time. Have a great evening.
All right, there he is, Rich Wagner, president. Dunwoody College of Technology, they've been in town since 1914. Something to keep in mind, whether you've got a young person in your life that's trying to figure out what they want to do. We hear it, for instance, Andy Lindis Construction, looking for good people in the trades. You hear it on the Real Estate Radio Hour with Andy and Chris. Good people are needed in these trades in all sorts of areas, so it is a good option. 1025 here at CCO. Shower and thunder, shower activity moving through the Twin Cities area. Good news, no warnings, but there is very heavy rain, potentially lightning, potentially a little small hail, and certainly gusty winds as well as this moves through. And once this moves through, there'll be another area that moves in from the Monticello and St. Michael and Albertville areas here into the Twin Cities. So we're not out of the rain yet. Steve in for Jordana tonight, 10:29. It is raining downtown. It was amazing how it started to rain. The Twins got the final outs and beat the Yanks 4-2. And then Joe Mauer was doing a TV interview in the dugout, and it was pouring rain at Target Field. It continues to rain downtown once again. Shower and thundershower activity moving through the Twin Cities area. Heavy rain on our text line. Someone got out, checked their rain gauge. 1.28 inches in Anoka as the rain moved through. So over an inch of rain in a relatively short period of time, and we're not done because the rain on our radar at WCCO.com stretches Bag Hub 94 toward the St. Cloud area, and we'll have more on that weather in a moment. The good news is no warnings right now, but if it's not raining in your neighborhood, it will be at some point. before the midnight hour. 77 here in the cities. More on the weather in a moment.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
10:38, 22 minutes now in front of 11. Steve in for Jordana tonight. Once again, shower and thunder shower activity. How about this? An inch in Vadnais Heights. That text coming in about 30 minutes ago. So we've had a lot of heavy rain move through the Twin Cities area. You can check it out at WCCO.com. And it looks like we'll have another bout move through here as well tonight. And then there remains a chance of shower and thunder shower activity through the night and through the day tomorrow. Right now, we're pleased to be joined by criminal defense attorney Joe Tamburino. Joe, pleasure to visit with you.
Oh, nice visiting with you. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I saw a story. Denny Hecker, I'm sure anybody who lives in the greater Twin Cities area has heard about Denny and the saga and how he got in all sorts of trouble and ultimately was sent to federal prison. Now Denny's on the brink of getting out.
Right, right. Well, what happened was back in 2011, he got a 10-year sentence for basically doing a $31 million swindle. And he's been moved around to a number of prisons. But he did complete a prison program, which coupled with his regular good time is basically getting him out a year early. Because in federal prison, normally, if you mind your P's and Q's, you get 15% off of your time for good time. Plus, you could work that down even more if you go through some programs.
Yeah, and Joe, what does good time mean? You don't cause problems. You do everything you're supposed to.
Right. Basically, it's this. If all of a sudden, say, you had to serve a one-year sentence, but you did that year, you didn't get into any fights, you didn't have contraband, you might have had some, you know, rule violations, but those rule violations, say, you were penalized by being in segregation or you lost some privileges, but overall you minded your P's and Q's, then you get your good time off. Like in Minnesota, for state cases, it's a third off your time. Federal court, it's usually 15%.
Now, in Denny Hecker's case, particularly early in his sentence, they were moving this guy all over the place. It was hard to follow. Where's Denny now?
I know. He was a guy who messed up his first prison stint because he was in, as prisons go, a very good prison. He was in Duluth at the beginning, and Duluth is really a prison camp. If you're going to serve prison time somewhere, one of the places you're going to want to pick is Duluth, because in Duluth you have a lot of freedom. Well, you never get total freedom because you're in prison, of course, right, but you have more freedom than you would in other prisons. And he messed that up completely, and he kept bouncing around from place to place.
And do we have any idea what he did where the feds were not thrilled?
No, we don't know. I mean, his attorney at the time made some statement years ago that he might have violated some phone privileges that he had. But whatever happens to an inmate is part of their prison record, and we just can't get a copy of that.
Now, there's a very good chance he will get out. There was some talk that it would happen fairly soon. There was a story in the Star Tribune that said someone close to Denny Hecker thought it might be this fall. How does that part of it work? Is it just clearly up to the feds to decide when he gets out?
Mostly. What happens is the Bureau of Prisons, the BOP, decides what program someone might be eligible for and whether they're allowed to complete the program. And then if they do complete it, like in his case, I believe he completed the drug and alcohol program, then the Bureau of Prisons gives you credit for that. And the way the BOP gives you credit is they give you time off. So, you know, they might give you 6 months off. And on top of that, when you're at the last portion of your sentence, you usually get usually about 6 months in what's called a halfway house. And that's a transitional house. So you're not in prison, you're back in the community, and you have a lot more privileges.
And is that always the case, that when someone gets out of federal prison, they always go to a halfway house?
Almost all the time. There are exceptions, but that's how the system is set up, so that a person just doesn't walk out of the gates wherever they're at, Illinois, Nebraska, doesn't matter, they transition back into their community. Mr. Hecker's situation is not unusual. I mean, it seems like he did do his programming, and after a period of time, he did mind his P's and Q's, so he's getting the benefit of the programming, cutting his sentence down, as well as his good time. So as long as he behaves himself from now till when they release him, he should be good to go.
And then when you get into a halfway house program, I'm sure there's people you still need to answer to that they keep an eye on you.
Oh, yes. There's definitely people to answer to. Sometimes you might have to do testing for drugs and alcohol. And then on top of that, even after you get back fully in the community, you also have a period of what's called supervised release, which is more onerous than parole. Supervised release, I don't know what he got in his case. Normally it's about 3 years. That means after you finish with all of your prison, you're still under the jurisdiction of the federal government, and they monitor you closely.
And you need to check in and show that you're working and paying
That's
your bills,
right.
et cetera.
That is correct. That is correct. And I'm sure they're going to want Denny Hecker to start working again, because I think he was ordered to pay something around $31 million. It's quite a sum.
Yeah, in reality, you know, unless he gets super lucky along the way or hits the Powerball or Mega Millions, he isn't going to be able to pay that debt.
That's correct. I mean, you're exactly right. Unless he hits the Powerball, there's no way he's going to be able to pay that back. But they will make him pay something. So if he's working, there will be some type of either garnishment of wages, or he'll be ordered to have pay something pursuant to their schedule.
Now, what about this part of it? And not even specifically to Denny Hecker. Someone who did something bad, got in trouble with the feds, was sentenced to prison, ultimately got out. Do they monitor this person's finances? I mean, to make sure they know where all the money is?
Well, that's a very interesting point, because, yes, they do in a lot of occasions. What they will say is that while the person is on supervised release, and again, it could be, I don't know how many years Mr. Hecker got a supervised release, you have to get the federal government's permission even to open up a checking account, to do online banking, to do any financial transaction. And you also have to do disclosure statements, which I'm sure already were done in his case, that you have to disclose where money is. On top of that, remember, it's basically impossible to do anything financially in today's world without your own Social Security number, how you pay taxes. So they monitor all that. And even if he wanted to open up a checking account at PCF or wherever, he most likely will have to get his parole officer, basically, permission.
In the case of Denny Hecker, he was such a high-profile character here in the Twin Cities, and his downfall and ultimate conviction and sentence to prison, that when he gets out, I mean, this guy is pretty recognizable. And I'm sure he made some enemies along the way. That's got to be a concern for someone like Denny trying to get back into some semblance of a normal life.
Oh, I would think so. Because remember, back in his heyday, he was everywhere. It's
right.
Not that he hired an actor to do something on his TV or on the billboards. He put his face everywhere. I mean, I think many people would easily recognize him.
Yeah, and that's got to be a challenge for someone like that to try and get any sort of normal life back.
Oh, sure. Everybody's going to know who he is when he walks on the street. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Joe, the halfway house, how are halfway houses funded? Is it ultimately a government program? Is it taxpayer dollars that fund that stuff?
It is, and it's cheaper than doing a prison, because here's why. When you're in a halfway house, these places are monitored. Obviously, they have staff, but you don't have to have a guards and iron and segregation units. They are a lot less costly. It's much more beneficial financially to have someone in a halfway house or in some type of strict social monitoring rather than house them in a prison. So when you've got nonviolent offenders, and no one's ever said Denny Hecker was violent. I mean, you know, he was a fraudster. He wasn't someone who assaulted people. When you have a nonviolent person or offenders it is easier, especially at the end of their sentence, to put them in a halfway house.
Are there typically businesses that cooperate with halfway houses and find these people gainful employment so they at least have something to do? Because we've all seen in the movies that there are businesses. I think of Red when he got out of prison in The Shawshank Redemption. You know, he went to work in the grocery store.
Exactly. Yes. I mean, a lot of times what they do is it's almost like having a social worker there. So they help you to try to transition back into regular life. See if you can get a job somewhere, or maybe you want to do something with education. You want to get some other type of skill. And that's what they try to help have you do.
All right. Well, Joe, pleasure to visit with you. I learned a lot. And once again, we don't know when Denny Hecker will be released to a halfway house, but it looks like at some point here in 2017.
Nice visiting with you. Thanks for having me on.
Have a good evening. There he is, Joe Tamburino, criminal defense attorney, joining us here on CCO. One other real quick tidbit. O.J. Simpson, the former football star, TV pitchman, and now Nevada prison inmate, will have a lot going for him when he asks state parole board members this week to release him after serving more than 8 years for an ill-fated bid to retrieve sports memorabilia. O.J. is now 70 years old, and he'll have history in his favor and a clean record behind bars as he approaches the 9-year minimum of his 33-year sentence for armed robbery and assault with a weapon. So there you go. OJ will try to get out on parole in Nevada. Quick break, 10:49 here at CCO, and that is Maplewood Toyota time. When you need a new car or truck, it's time to check out MaplewoodToyota.com first. It is 6 minutes now in front of 11. All the news and weather at 11. Then Al Malmberg, shower and thunder shower activity continues to rumble through the Twin Cities area. You name it, we're seeing it. No warnings right now. And we've had very heavy rain in parts of the Twin Cities area tonight. By the way, Twins beat the Yanks 4-2. And they were able to barely clear the field before the torrential rain fell. Once again, we've had reports of an inch or more in parts of the Twin Cities area. And, of course, that chance of shower and thunder shower activity continues through the night tonight and again through the day tomorrow. And we'll certainly keep an eye on it for you here at CCO. A couple of minutes to go before the news and weather break at 11 in Al Malmberg. Let's get some highlights from this date in history. It is July 17th. 62 years ago, Disneyland in California opened.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome. Disneyland is your land.
A couple of sad stories on this July 17th. 36 years ago, a pair of walkways above the lobby of Kansas City's Hyatt Regency Hotel collapsed, killing 114 and injuring more than 200 others. Here's a survivor.
Well, there was no warning. It was just, we were standing there and all of a sudden it was on top of us.
I remember that. That was dreadful. 21 years ago, TWA Flight 800 exploded over Long Island. Shortly after it left New York's Kennedy Airport bound for Paris, all 230 people aboard were killed. Dave Burrell witnessed the explosion.
It went from a small red dot, which I initially mistook to be a flare, to and it just burst into flames and then came straight down into the ocean.
One other airline disaster. 3 years ago, Malaysian Airlines Flight 17 was shot down over rebel-held eastern Ukraine. All 298 people aboard were killed. Birthdays, Donald Sutherland is 82. Many, many roles over his career, including the evil President Snow in the Hunger Games films.
You need to fix these lines. I won't say rebels. These are senseless acts of defiance. And I won't legitimize them.
And by the way, David Hasselhoff, I've heard he's big in Germany, is 65. The news and Al coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.